Okay, brainstorm before I hand out the notes here. What is authority? Even a brain trickle is fine. I'm not necessarily looking for a downpour here. What is authority? Random brainstorm. Okay, now that's what authority might provide, but what is authority? What does the word authority mean? It doesn't mean protection per se. Okay, power to lead. Okay, people over us. Okay. Because there's two parts, right? You can be over somebody, but if they're not being responsible, any kind of leadership, yeah, you know, how to say, you know, if you think you're leading, but you look around and no one's following, you're not, kind of thing, and that's a two-part thing. That's why we call this yielded followership. I'll steal a little bit of thunder later, but following authority is the responsibility of the follower to follow, not the responsibility of the leader to make follow. God places that largely upon, you know, like it's not parents make your children obey. Is that what this command sounds like? It says children obey your parents. Now we're responsible to teach our children to obey and to help discipline in that way, but there's still that. Even by the way it's stated, wives submit to your own husbands, obey those that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. All of those are middle terms that require you to do that action. No one can make you do that technically. So, Judy, you had your hand up. Okay. Punish, enforce. I'm just looking at other words too, yeah. And I agree with that. I think. Well, what's in the word? Yeah. You have the right in something. You're the originator at some level. No one's an ultimate authority apart from, you know, God himself is the ultimate authority. Yeah. You're the originator. You're the rule maker. And it does. I'll even put that down here, too. Rule making. I believe that this is not in our minds correctly, biblically speaking. Even the most conservative Christians don't get this because we have swallowed the world's view, the Western view of authority is I go out on my own. And the Bible does not teach that. It just simply doesn't. And I'll prove it to you. Okay? It's like if I disagree, I go away. And it's like that's not a biblical response at all. You don't see that. Okay? Otherwise, Jesus would not have been on the cross, for one. But what else? Okay, good enough. I'm going to hand out notes. B flat okay for you?
I don't get it.
I know, you're non-musical, Ted. C minus is not a note, Lynn. There's a C minor key. Yeah, you can have an F. For a note and a grade. Yeah, there you go. And a B and a C. Okay. Thank you. So I'm being graded now, okay. Okay, I have 4 pages. That shows us that, boy, we have a lot to do today, okay? So I'm going to interact as we go here. Thank you. Anyone not get notes? Anyone want to build a fire at home with notes? I don't know. I got 3 pens. I'm throwing to a quarterback. I throw like a girl, don't I? You would say that. It's yeah, I'm telling you. But I was trying to keep from implanting it in Juanita's forehead, too. So. Perfect spiral, Juanita. What'd you think? Okay. First page is simply some definitions that I yanked off of dictionary.com. There's different dictionaries. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them were from dictionary.com, and then the last one is just Webster's Dictionary, which is a public domain one from 1828, okay? Yeah, that's kind of the old standard, okay? Anyway, I'm just going to read these real quick. These are not, I didn't list everything. There's a lot of them had 10 definitions, okay? And that's, we're not going all the way that way, okay? But the first one here, I'm just going to read them. I'm not going to cite them. You can look at that in your notes here. But the power to determine, to adjudicate, or otherwise settle issues or disputes. Oh, that fits in some of our homes like mine. You know, I don't know why, but I had to get the blanket back from Daniel yesterday for some reason. The right to control, command, or determine. Isn't that kind of what we're talking about? The right or power to control or determine. The number two here is a power or right delegated or given. Authorization. Who has the authority to grant permission? Or that is huge too. The idea that authority is given. We're going to talk about that today. You are not your own authority. And again, that's huge. If you understand that you cannot take authority upon yourself, that changes the way you respond to your parents, to your even your pastors, or your government. Okay, you are under authority in different realms and areas. That doesn't mean everything is right, and that doesn't mean you do everything that your authority tells you to do, because other authorities supersede those, because they're higher authorities. But that authority does not eliminate that authority. By and large. Again, otherwise Jesus would not have gone to the cross. It was unfair. It was wrong. Unethical. Anything you can say. And Jesus allowed himself to be put to death by the government. Here's another one. The power to enforce laws. Exact obedience. That's what I want. I want to learn that phrase. Kids, I'm going to exact some obedience here. That sounds good. All right. Command, determine, or judge. One that is invested with this power, especially a government or body of government officials. No, that would be a quagmire. Number two, power assigned to another, authorization, okay? Here's another one. Webster's Revised Unabridged Dictionary, the modern one here. Legal or rightful power, a right to command or to act. Power exercised, that's misspelled, and I didn't misspell it. That's copy of it by a person. There shouldn't be a U in there. In virtue of his office or trust, dominion, jurisdiction, authorization, as the authority of a prince over subjects, etc. Parents over children, authority of a court. Word net, the power or right to give orders or make decisions. Okay, that's a pretty simple one there. Merriam-Webster, an official decision of a court, a power to act especially over others that derives from status, position, or office. And then here's the Webster's Dictionary of 1828. Legal power or a right to command or to act, the authority of a prince over subjects, parents over children. So not a whole lot different than the newer one. Power, rule, or sway. Now the definition here below here is my definition, and it's probably broader than the term authority, but it takes into consideration what authority is intended in the Bible, and it's a working definition. I've wrote it over the last week or so. But I call it, if I want a biblical definition, this encompasses it. I might refine it, and you're welcome to help me do so too. The God-assigned right to control, command, or direct others within the context of God's defined realm or assigned jurisdiction and according to God's revealed will for the benefit of those led. authority is not for the benefit of the authority. And most people misunderstand that. I know I have. Okay, over the years. All right, so that's the idea. That I've tried to encompass it all. Sooner or later, we'll get to all of those ideas here. That it's the God-assigned right, and it's also within certain realms of authority. Guess what? I'm Lynn's boss, but I'm not your boss at work. I'm in charge of one person. So Lynn and I'll take him and march him around the office just to show people. I don't. You know? but I'm saying, I'm a boss, but I'm not Ben's boss. So, I mean, there's realms of authority, and they may overlap, but they're not identical, and there's different levels. But like, and there's also just different jurisdictions. Like, I can't tell you how fast to drive. The government has already done that. But I could potentially, as an employer, say you will not go over 50 miles an hour in my truck. Okay, because then I'm an authority that, and then those overlap. Okay, kind of thing. So I don't know if my truck can go 55 anyway. The name of my truck, 1977 GMC, what is it? Truck. Sierra. Cletus. There's a story behind that. But anyway, go to page 2 here. All this is so that you can understand where this study comes from. And it's not as complete as I like. It's just as far as I could get. Okay? I'm going to leave this stuff up here. But let me write a term. I'm going to write it in Greek first. Want to try for now? Huh? That's just an accent. It's actually not a tittle. There were no accents even in Greek. Everything was written in capital letters altogether initially. It's not as hard as it looks, honestly, but I'll just write it out here. What's that look like? Yeah, see, it's not as hard as it looks. This here is, it makes what? The KS sound or X. Okay, EX. And then what does that look like? O. U. There's no V, but sometimes it's like that. And U. This is actually an S. They actually make it like this if it's on the end of a word. So this is an S. What's that look like? Yeah. What's that look like? Hey. Now, pronounce it. It's and this is actually an accent, and there's no H, but this is a soft breather, so there's no H. If it's like this, it's a H sound. By the way, you might think I'm complicating things, but I like to teach in layers, but the teens all learned Greek, how to read it and all the letters on, was it Wednesdays and Sundays? For a while, if you don't keep up with it, you got to keep doing it. But this is just an accent, so it's exousia, okay? And it means authority. Excuse me. That's the word that we're looking at today, okay? So we're looking at the occurrences of this word in the New Testament. This is the Greek word for authority, okay? And I've tried to categorize them a little bit. We're obviously not going to be able to look at every verse today, and we're not going to pick this study up next week because we're moving on. But we're hoping to get the first four blocks in anyway, okay? But the first one has to do with God. And some of these verses are repeated because there's different ways to categorize them. And these, I think, for the most part, are in biblical order, canonical order, how they occur in Scripture. So they're not necessarily as logical as I'd like them. But I just want you to understand that the ultimate authority is God. And you can maybe write that in that little margin here. And that's why I numbered it. I numbered him to sort him and all. So I'm letting the computer do some of my work for me eventually. But God is the ultimate authority. Remember in Romans 13, what did it say? It said that all authority is from the Lord, and there's no authority unless it's from God. Okay, and what we refuse to believe is that God would dare put somebody over me that doesn't meet my approval or do what I want him or her to do. Anyone feel that way ever? Or is it just me? Okay, you know what I'm saying? That's the thing that God wants us to learn. And he goes, guess what? I know that you're going to have sinful authorities. And I still gave you commands to follow those authorities. And we'll get into detail. He's not kidding. Not only the good and gentle, but also the harsh. That's in the context of slaves. For what good is it if you are beaten for your own faults? But if you're beaten for doing right, that is commendable before God. No, I'm not approving beating. That's just what some slaves found themselves in. Understand that. We're not saying it's good to beat people. But sometimes they were being beaten, and to have the right attitude in that, God says, is well-pleasing to God. Wow. Completely different attitude than what we have engendered in our Western culture. Don't cross my path, or I'll find a new authority. Matthew 9:6, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth. And it's grayed out there a little bit, so you can see that's the word. That's exousia. Power on earth to forgive sins. He has the authority on earth to forgive sins. So God has the authority to forgive sins. Remember, that was when they let the man down through the roof? And it's like, oh, you said forgive sins. Yeah, anybody can say that. I think it's all, oh, it's, if that's your problem, so that you can know that I have power to forgive sins, stand up, take up your bed and walk. Any other questions? Okay? Which one's harder? It's easy to say you forgive sins, but it's harder to actually forgive sins because no one has the authority except God himself. Matthew 28, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all what? Authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Who's in charge? Yeah, he is the supreme commander. Who's in charge of your boss or bosses? God is. Understand that. That's huge to understand that you're under authority, but God is over them. That is huge. That is huge from a biblical perspective, and I will prove it to you. That is the exact attitude that Jesus had, and if you want to study it before I get to it, it's 1 Peter 2. It starts with the slave passage, servants, submit yourself to your masters, not only the good and gentle, but also to the forward and the harsh. And it says this is the same thing that Jesus did before Pilate, who basically gave himself over to God the Father to do whatever he felt. He trusted himself to the ultimate authority because God was in charge of the authority, and that's what Jesus said, Pilate, you wouldn't be here if God wouldn't let you. So God is in charge, and we refuse to believe that. Even though he can create the universe, you know, speak all the stars into existence, he can't handle my problem, so I will take care of it myself. That's called rebellion. Okay, ultimately. Luke 9:1, then he called his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. Okay? God has the authority, and he can assign it to others. We're going to talk about the given part in the next section, and that verse comes up again. Luke, 1 Peter 2, it starts at verse 18. It goes to the end of the chapter, and then if you want, keep reading, because then it picks up and it says, likewise, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Likewise, you mean just like Jesus went to the cross attitude. Yeah, so it's huge. It all ties together. So, and we're going to get there. But you can read it before. It changed my whole view of authority. That passage did. It's like, oh, if I'm defining my terms for my authority, then I'm in charge, not my authority, right? Does that make sense? It's like, I'll follow you if you do what I tell you to tell me. You know, that's chaos. Okay? Luke 12:5, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power or authority to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him, Jesus said. He said before that verse, do not fear him who is able to kill the body, but fear him who is able to kill both body and soul in hell. And that's repeated in several of the Gospels. God has the authority to ultimately judge. And that's what you answered to the ultimate judge, right? So that's why he is the ultimate authority too. Because he will hold your authorities accountable. Now, they might get away with stuff now. But are you trusting God to be in charge of them? Or are you going to try and be in charge? That's huge. John 5:27, and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. God the Father has given the Son authority. Even the Son did not take authority on himself. It's huge. Again, we do not take authority on our own. John 10:18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have a power or authority to lay it down, and I have power or authority to take it again. He's talking about his life. What kind of authority is that? That someone can kill you and you can get back up after 3 days. John 17:2, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Again, God gave authority to the Son. That's Jesus praying there. 1 Corinthians 15, we're jumping quite a ways through here. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. If you will, Jesus delivers the kingdom to God the Father when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. What does that say? That God is over all authority and power. He wipes out all authority. Because he is the ultimate authority. He eliminates it. 2 Corinthians 10:8. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, Paul is talking about his authority as an apostle, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed. The idea that Paul had authority because it came from God, which the Lord gave us. Okay? That was Paul's marching orders because God said, What did he say? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you? You know, what do you want me to do, Lord? All of a sudden, okay? And then he told him. 2 Corinthians 13:10. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority, again, which the Lord has given me. I'm not reading the last part because that's coming up later. Ephesians 1:21. Far above all principality and authority or power and might and dominion. That's where God is. He's above all earthly authorities, if you will. I have another section we won't get to today, but I call it positions. It's at the bottom of the second page. And that's that there's spiritual and physical authorities. And those are, if you will, levels of authority, either human or angelic or demonic. And God is over all of those too. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth. That'll kind of put you at the top of the pile, won't it? If you create everything. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or authorities. It's the word powers. It's the same word exousia. All things were created through him and for him, including all authorities. Let's go to the second one now. We got God, and understand that he is the ultimate authority. He is the ultimate, I think Ben used the word origin. He's the originator. God is the ultimate authority. So what does that mean? All authorities are what? Comes from God, under God, and contingent upon God's allowance to do that. Okay? All right, next one here. It's the key word given. Authority is not taken. It is given, ultimately, by God, potentially others. Okay, man can extend authority as well. Okay. Matthew 28, again, Jesus said, all authority has been what? Given to me. It's interesting that Jesus didn't grab authority. The Father gave him authority. He functioned under that authority, as we know. Luke 9:1, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. We already read that one, to over all demons and to cure diseases. That's the only way people could have the ability to do that back then. I don't even believe that God does that now. Not that he can't, but he doesn't. But he gave them power. Jesus assigned or appointed them authority, power, ability, and authority. Luke 19:17. It's interesting, but it looks like God will give authority as a type of reward, which is actually one of those toward the end, too, that we won't get at today. It's the top of the third page that you can look at. But it says this, and he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. There seems to be authority structure, political authority structure on the new earth. Okay? Whether it's the millennium or beyond, I don't know, but there's God has authority in a sinless environment even. Okay. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right. The King James says the power. This is the word again, authority to become the children of God to those who believe in his name. Okay, how do you become get the right to become the children of God or the authority? Those that believe in his name. John 5:27, and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Again, given him. And you might even want to, as we go through here, underline the give idea as much as it sticks out. John 19:11, Jesus answered Pilate. I'm filling in that word here. You could have no power, no authority at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Jesus acknowledged Pilate's authority as being from God. Now, Pilate was a godly man, yes? No, he was a dweeb. The Jews hated him, and he was kind of what we would call a jerk. And he continued proving that, and it's been recorded in the Bible. Okay? Don't you know who I am? It's like one of the greatest, dumbest statements of all, you know, kind of thing. Not that he understood who Jesus was, but it's like, boy, there's a loaded question. Do you know who you're asking, you know? Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sins. You understand that Jesus understood that his circumstances were orchestrated by God. That helps us understand how we are to yield under authority. Because guess what? God is not only over my authority, but he's also in charge of my circumstances. Okay? By the way, Jesus could have just kind of zapped him, right? Smoked him. What's that? Oh, that's Pilate Mound. That's a place in Iowa, in case you don't know. Ash heap. Okay? Acts 8:19. Give me this power also. That's Simon, what was he, the crook or whatever, in Acts. You know, they were casting out demons and stuff. He said, I want this authority too. Sell it to me. Yeah, the disciples thought that was a good idea too. He was begging after about 2 verses here. So. And not for power. Acts 26:10. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison. This is Paul saying it. Having received authority from the chief priest, Paul was, as Saul, was going around incarcerating people, and he held the cloaks of people while they did the dirty work for him and killed Stephen, in fact, in Acts 7. So he had authority, a realm of authority. The chief priest had the right to do that. It wasn't a biblically argued right, but they had their position allowed them to do that. 2 Corinthians 10:8, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, Paul's talking about his apostolic authority in which the Lord gave us. 2 Corinthians 13:10 says the same thing, so I'll move on. Revelation 2:26, and he who overcomes, Jesus says, and keeps my works to the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. Again, it seems to be something of a reward later on. And that's why I believe people that you've never heard of will be your leaders. People who have been faithful that you may have never heard of in history or whatever, because they were faithful, God puts them in charge. I believe there are going to be a lot of moms in charge of things. I do. Because God measures where you're at, what you're able to do, and what you're doing, not how humans measure. Okay? Revelation 13:2. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. And his mouth was like a mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Who's the dragon? Satan. And I have a list. I think it's toward the end. He's the last one on the list that relates to that. We're not going to go over him today, but he also has authority and gives authority. Huge, huge. There's an authority structure even within the angelic realm that exists to this day, I believe. I don't have it in here. I think I refer to it at the very end. But in Jude, the Bible says, Michael the archangel did not bring a railing accusation against Lucifer, but rather said, the Lord rebuke you. It's seemingly Lucifer still, Lucifer, now Satan, seemingly was the highest created being. And apparently he's still a five-star general. And you still talk to a general, or you still have right over a general, even though he's on the other side. Okay, that's what it seems to be anyway. So that's in Jude if you want to look at that further. Michael the archangel. Third one here we're getting to, and then we're just going to do the fourth one as well. Meaning and purpose. Now, you might want to scribble some things on these two more so, okay? This is the soldier that comes to Jesus. He's a legionnaire, and he says, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. What does authority involve? The power or right to tell people what to do. And who gives that power? God. That doesn't mean that that person does everything right or the way you like it either. But where does that authority come from? You still have to go back to that. All authority is from God. To resist authority is to resist God. Because God places us under authorities. And again, that doesn't mean everything the authority does is good. But God places us there, and we are to respond to that authority. Not just if they're doing what we want. Otherwise, it violates the point of authority here. By the way, he said, I found no greater faith in all of Israel about this man, because he got it. A soldier gets authority because and when I was in the army, it's like, you know what? You don't salute the man, you salute the rank. And you understand that if it's two bars and the captain, or if it's a gold leaf or a silver leaf or one star or three stars or whatever, that has meaning. And that person, because of what they wear, has the right to tell the people under them what to do. And a soldier gets that more because they've had to live in that realm. John 19, Pilate said to him, this is the right before Jesus said, responded, Are you not speaking to me? Like, who are you talking to? Do you not know that I have the authority to crucify you and the power to release you? Jesus could have said, don't you know that I could just fry you? But he didn't. He didn't respond in any disrespectful way. He responded with truth. But he didn't say jerk or anything like that. Because why? That would violate authority. That would be disrespectful to authority. He didn't even, as I remember the old Dallas Holm hymn from years ago, go ahead, drive the nails in my hand, you'll see, I'll be back, kind of thing. I'm paraphrasing there. But that wasn't his attitude. He gave himself over to God. God is in charge of my authorities and my circumstances. Acts 5, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control or authority? Who's Peter talking to here? Ananias, the money is there to do what you want, but now you're lying about it. That's the issue. You can do whatever you want with your money, but you lied. You have the authority over your money to do what you want. So authority is the ability within your control to do whatever you want with what God has given you control of. Now, there's stewardship things and all involved with it, but that's concept of authority. Acts 9 talks about has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call. Saul, later named Paul, could go around and tie people up, and he had the authority to do that. And they had no choice. Guess what? Because the religious authority was also by and large the political authority. Acts 26 says the same thing. Romans 9:21, again, an indicator of what the authority means. Does not the potter have power or authority over the clay? And you say, well, yeah, that's logical. Well, understand, that's authority. God places people over you that have the right to tell you what to do, even though you don't like it. Now, we're going to get into, I'm going to go over just a little bit, but I'm telling you this, you'll hear it again. Okay? Submission is doing that you are told, even though you would do it differently. What? If you were in charge. Huh? Submission assumes this. I disagree. So what? Now that doesn't mean there's not room for appeal, there's not room for discussion depending upon where you're at, who you are. That doesn't mean you have no say at every level of authority kind of stuff. But understand, the bottom line is, if your authority doesn't agree with you, you need to submit to your authority unless you're violating a command of God, and I would say a major command of God. Okay? You'll see this again. Okay? So I'm just kind of throwing you over the... You would do it differently. 1 Corinthians 7:37. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, being single and unmarried, that's the context here, having no necessity to be married, but has authority over his own will. If you will, what's another word for authority? Maybe control is a good word for authority. Authority is control. Someone has the right to control me. That's worth writing down. Someone has the right to control me. Okay? 1 Corinthians 9:4, do we have no right or authority to eat or drink? Paul is talking about apostles' rights again. Don't we have the right to be married? Don't we have the right to get paid? Don't we have the right to eat and drink? You know, in other words, get fed well? And the answer to all those is yes, of course. But this also is indicative of what the purpose is that we'll get to in just a moment, okay? We're about done here. 1 Corinthians 11:10, for this reason, the woman ought to have, notice, a symbol is missing. You know, that's italics. Supplied by the translator, ought to have authority on her head. Okay, and it seems to indicate some kind of covering over the head. And because of the angels, good luck on that one. But there's more to 1 Corinthians 11. I won't get into it now. Most of it's very clear. Because of the angels is not. Hebrews 13:10, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no authority to eat. Talking about the spiritual altar as opposed to the Old Testament altar. Revelation 20, blessed and holy is he who has no part in the first resurrection, over such the second death has no authority. You know, doesn't that make sense? The second death has no right or authority over you. That makes sense. No control. And then Revelation 22, blessed are those who do his commandments that they may have the right or authority to the tree of life, which seemingly is connected to eternal life in a physical lengthy way too. So that's the meaning. Control over, somebody else has the right to control you, to tell you what to do. It means what we've kind of thought it meant, but people think, oh, I don't have to follow my authority. That's a contradiction in terms. Unless there's a higher authority. Okay? 1 Corinthians 8, 9. This is under purpose now. This is the last one we're going to do. There's five verses here, so I'll probably read them all. But beware lest somehow this liberty, isn't it interesting it's translated liberty, but it's the word authority, of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. Authority is not for selfish reasons. We might have authority to do something, but we do not have the privilege to do something because it'll injure somebody else. We are not to cause somebody else to stumble by the authorities that we have. Boy, that's a heavy weight, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 9:18. What is my reward then, Paul says, that when I preach the gospel, I present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. He went on, he says, don't I have a right to a wife? Don't I have a right to get paid? Don't I have a right to... He goes, understand that I do whatever is most strategic for other people in my authority. I have the right to do these things, but I do it without charge, even though I have a right to be paid, even though I have a right to do this so that I do not abuse my authority, because my authority is for their benefit, not my pocketbook. Fair? That makes sense? 2 Corinthians 10:8 and 13:10, both of these have the same phrase. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, talking about his apostolic authority, but I think it's general, of which the Lord gave us. Why? Yeah, and keep going. Yeah. For your edification and not for your destruction. For whatever authority is, it's for edification. Another word for that is what? Not exactly. Building up. You can encourage and that would build up, but that would be the edification would be a result of that. Yeah, so, I mean, there's admonition also builds up. Teaching builds up. So a lot of that adds in there. But edification, it's to build people up. So authority is what? Not to build the authority up, right? Hello? Are you with me? It's to build the people up, and it's not to tear them down. I'm just trying to think if there's any current events today that would relate. Never mind. I mean, it's just the opposite. People are padding their pockets. That isn't what authority is for. Authority to tax is for the benefit of those taxed. Not to pay off people or to wield power and make people dependent upon you. That isn't for their benefit. For edification and not your destruction. Okay, so that's where, in my definition, you have for the benefit of those led. I'll probably fine-tune that some, but you are in charge of others for their benefit, according to what God says. Not for you, not please serve me. Okay, you don't see that. Jesus came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom. There's authority for you. Okay, and then 2 Thessalonians 3:9. Not because we do not have authority, Paul says, apostolic authority, but what? To make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. It's like, no, I have authority to do things, but my ultimate goal is to build you up by giving you an example of how to live. Not bark orders. Okay? And there's times when you bark orders. Jesus said, peace be still, and it was. Okay? But the purpose is for the benefit of those that you've been placed over. Now, if you're under somebody that's harsh or whatever, that's God's problem as I understand it, not yours, by and large. If you can appeal, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but you may not be able to. So then it's God's problem. And we're going to see that more as we go. That's in 1 Peter 2, as we'll see. So. Any last questions or comments? We haven't really got into methods or whatever. That's kind of toward the end. But dunamis, I differentiate there too. Isn't this good? It's as foundational as laying a footing for a building. If you don't get this, everything else falls apart. The church falls apart. The home falls apart. And I'm saying, I didn't grow up listening to this. I think a lot of it was there by default because that was the structure of the society I lived in at the time. It is not there any longer. the driving force today is independence and do your own thing kind of stuff. And that is not of God. You did not even see it. And the Son of God who created the universe did not act of his own accord. Okay? Or was it a Honda or something else? I don't know. Okay, let's pray. And then we're just going to meet in the auditorium for a little bit. I won't hold you long. So, Lord, thank you for loving us and creating not only a structured universe, as we looked at this morning service, but also a structure in society. The planets stay where they're supposed to, but you've also aligned us in a society to do the same thing so that everything runs in an orderly fashion. And it also benefits us. And I pray, Lord, that as we are placed in realms of authority, whether it's parenting or pastoring or teaching or whatever, we would be under you and for the benefit of those we are over. And also, Lord, if as we are under multiple authorities as we are, that we might submit to them and understand that you are their boss. And it's not our job necessarily to make them follow us. We just praise you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.